Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. A shout-out to all my subscribers, my patrons, and my channel members, and everybody that likes to hang out with me on the live streams. We have a blast, don't we? Now, let's go to the islands, man! Shada! This story was shared with me by my grandfather, who was part of a team of scientists researching the giant statues on Easter Island. This transpired in the first half of the 20th century. I was the youngest member of our 10-person team, and was given most of the grunt work as everyone regarded me as their inferior. I didn't mind doing the work, as I was looking forward to working with a bunch of professionals. I was fresh out of college, and this was my first real job in my field. The boat ride to the island was torture for me, as I spent most of the journey vomiting due to seasickness. Most of the crew were laughing at me due to my head hanging over the side of the boat every few hours. The rest of our team were unaffected by the journey, which furthered my embarrassment. It was a long and arduous journey, as the island is so remote. It is over 2,000 kilometers from the nearest other island. I have never felt such relief as the moment I finally set foot on land again. The other team members began barking orders at me, and I rushed around grabbing the equipment off the boat. The captain told us that he would be back in a month, and if we had any problems, that we were on our own. I felt a weird sense of foreboding as I watched the boat disappear off in the distance. The others stood alongside me for a few moments, and I am not sure if they were thinking the same thing that I was. We spent the next few hours setting up camp and organizing our supplies. The person leading our group was called Andrew, and he was continuously glaring at me as I moved from one task to another. We eventually had everything set up, and Andrew told us to go ahead and get some sleep early, as we had a long day ahead of us tomorrow. I had had the best night's sleep in ages, as I wasn't being woken by the rocking of waves. I was awoken the next morning by sounds of movement outside my tent. I quickly got dressed and started helping the others with breakfast. We devoured our food and prepared to head out. I was given the bulk of the stuff to carry as Andrew didn't want to overburden the others. We reached the first giant statue and stood awestruck in front of it. The head towered over us and made me feel so insufficient. Andrew snapped his fingers at us, and we were being dragged from our awe. We all began setting up our equipment so that we could study this giant head and hopefully learn a bit more about it. I was instructed by Andrew to use a hammer to smash a piece of it off, as he wanted some samples. I tried to argue that we shouldn't damage them, but he began scolding me, and I was ordered to do it, otherwise I couldn't be paid. I reluctantly walked up to the head and tried to look for a spot that I could easily break off. I placed my hand against its side and was surprised at how warm it felt. I found a piece that had previously been damaged and smashed the hammer against it. The entire statue began to shake, and I took a few steps back in shock. The eyes of the statue seemed to be glaring at me, and I never felt so terrified. I rushed over to the others and explained what had just happened, and they followed me to the statue. None of them spotted anything out of the ordinary, and Andrew slapped me across the face and told me to stop being a nuisance. He picked up the piece that I had broken off and led the others back to where they had their equipment set up. I spent the rest of the day helping the others, but kept a constant wary eye on that statue. We left our equipment behind at the end of the day when we were heading back to camp, as there was no point in carrying it back and forth. That night, I got up to go to the bathroom, and went a short distance from the camp. I felt something staring at me, and I looked around thinking one of the other team was nearby. My blood went cold as I saw the statue only a short distance away. I began to back up, but it didn't move. I woke all the others and brought them over to where I had seen it. They searched around, but couldn't find anything. They gave me sympathetic looks and told me that it was just a nightmare. I slept badly that night, as I kept expecting a giant shadow to appear hovering over my tent. The next morning, we made the long walk back to where we had left our equipment. I was lagging behind the others as I didn't want to be anywhere near that bloody statue. I heard annoying shouting ahead of me and rushed forward to see what was going on. I stopped in shock as I saw all of our equipment lying smashed and spread out all over the ground. Everything was beyond salvaging as they were so utterly broken. I moved towards the statue from yesterday, and I know it sounds crazy, but it had moved. It had been facing away from the camp yesterday, but now it was looking towards our destroyed equipment. Two other statues were also in the distance, but none had been nearby when we were here yesterday. I pointed this out to Andrew, but he was so annoyed about the destroyed equipment to even pay attention. Andrew decided to move our camp to beside the statue, as at least that way we could have our equipment beside us at all times. I considered telling Andrew this was a terrible idea, but knew he would never listen to me anyways. The following morning, I was awoken by screams from one of the group. I rushed outside to find everyone standing around something on the ground. I made my way over and almost fainted as I gazed down at the bloody remains. It looked like whoever it was had been crushed as their body had been liquefied. We did a quick head count and realized it was Luke who had been the second in command. The others began urging Andrew that we needed to leave, but he ignored them and began ordering everyone to get to work. We knew that we had no choice but do as he says, as we are trapped here until the boat returns. We considered going to the locals for help, but we were worried that they may have been responsible for what had happened. I was tasked with gathering up Luke's remains so that we could bury him. I ended up having to use a shovel and bucket as there was no solid pieces left of his body. Even his bones have been broken beyond recognition. I was looking around as I did this, as more statues had appeared overnight. There was almost a dozen of them watching us now. I could see the others had noticed the new statues, as they kept shooting terrified glances towards them. Andrew seemed oblivious to them as he was concentrating on getting his research completed. Every morning we woke up to find more and more statues appearing around our camp. Three more of our team members were found dead. Their bodies had been crushed, but their heads had been left intact. Their faces had died with expressions of pure terror etched across them. I was forced to use the shovel to sever their heads as I needed to collect their remains. I ended up dumping them at the edge of the camp, so there was no point in burying them anymore. I began discussing with the remaining crew about grabbing our remaining supplies and heading somewhere different. Andrew told me that I was just being a nuisance again, and that the dead crew members had died of natural causes. I looked into his face and came to a sickening realization that he had lost his mind. The next morning, I woke up to a silent camp and made my way out of my tent. The statues had encircled the camp almost completely, and they were all gazing inwards towards me. I saw movement out of the corner of my eye. I turned to see Andrew preparing to start work on his equipment. I began to move towards him and stopped as I saw the remains of the others. Their bodies had been crushed, and it looked like something had shoved them into the ground as they were almost a meter down. I approached Andrew and reminded him that the boat was coming tomorrow and that we needed to leave. I took a step back when he turned around and gazed into his empty eye sockets. He smiled at me and told me he couldn't leave until he had finished his work. I decided to grab my stuff and leave. It took me almost an hour to get out of the camp as the statues were arrayed so tightly around us. I found a small gap and began to slip through. I began to panic as the statues moved and started to slowly crush me. I managed to squeeze my way out, but the skin had been ripped off of my body in numerous places. I made my way down the hill and gazed back for a moment to see the statues had now turned and were facing me. I couldn't see any sign of Andrew, but knew that they would deal with him. I started to weep in happiness the next morning as I saw the boat approaching. The captain greeted me and asked if anyone else was coming. He didn't seem surprised when I explained that I was the only one left alive. He began giving orders to his crew while giving fearful glances towards the island. We were quickly underway as it was clear the crew wanted to leave as soon as possible. I stood on the back of the ship and watched the island slowly disappear into the distance. I could see hundreds of the statues lining the beaches looking back at me. I'm not sure if they let me leave or if I just managed to escape. All I know is that I will never trust another statue as long as I live.